workers at the construction site of NYU's campus in Abu Dhabi faced harsh conditions, according to a report in today's New York Times. The revelations come despite the school issuing a statement of labor values guaranteeing fair treatment of laborers. Dozens of men who were interviewed by The Times said they often worked 11 to 12 hours a day, 6 or 7 days a week. The Times also reports the men weren't allowed to hold on to their passports in spite of promises to the contrary. Joining us now to talk about the story is New York Times reporter Ariel Kaminer. Good morning, Ariel.
Good morning.
So how did you get on this story, and what did you see when you traveled to Abu Dhabi?
I think there's been growing interest in the labor conditions under which Western institutions are expanding into the Gulf region. So I went to see for myself, and what I found was conditions that are very much at odds with what NYU has tried to establish for workers on their project.
You describe tough working conditions for these workers. The men you interviewed worked a lot of overtime and didn't earn what they were initially promised. And that's despite NYU assuring the public when it went into Abu Dhabi that it was taking workers' rights seriously. How is NYU responding to these revelations?
They have responded with concern, and they have also pointed out that the construction workers don't work directly for NYU. They work for subcontractors who then work for another contractor who is employed by a government agency that's overseeing the construction. NYU is sort of on a parallel track there, but they establish these labor values as a way to exert their influence. And they try to, you know, raise the standards by which workers in that region are usually treated under what's known as the kafala system, which really is something that gives workers very, very limited rights.
But NYU must have known the risks going in, knowing that, you know, that the workers weren't going to be NYU employees. They'd be workers of contractors and subcontractors. So they must have known the risks going in.
I think that they did. And I think that they feel that they have gone further than almost any other institution has ever gone to try to improve these circumstances. And they have some real successes to talk about. For example, safety on the job site, at least as far as I can tell, has been a success, something that they take seriously. But in other arenas, I think that it has proven much more complex than they perhaps anticipated.
You mentioned that employment system in the United Arab Emirates, kafala. Can you briefly describe what that is?
So under the kafala system, which is in place pretty much across the Gulf region, immigrants from other countries, particularly South Asian countries, are brought over to do the nation's work, really. Only 15% of the population of the United Arab Emirates are citizens of the United Arab Emirates. The other 85% are immigrant laborers who have no chance of becoming citizens. They're brought over and their employer, which would in this case be one of the construction companies, sponsors their passport. That means that they are basically tethered to the employer. They can't switch jobs without the employer's permission. They can't go back home without the employer's permission. The employer, in many cases, houses them in big labor camps, so they don't have, you know, freedom of their own sort of movement. And they also, in the vast majority of cases, even though it's illegal, in the vast majority of cases, they have to pay a recruiter an enormous amount of money, perhaps as much as a year's wages, to get the job, which means they spend the first whole year there basically just working off that debt. So the first year is free. That's why many human rights observers have compared this system to indentured labor.
You noted that a lot of people are paying attention to NYU's expansion in Abu Dhabi. What are NYU's President John Sexton's opponents likely to do now?
His opponents within the faculty? I couldn't say, although I couldn't say. But a lot of people are noticing, it's certainly true, a lot of people are noticing NYU's experiment in Abu Dhabi. You know, by any measure, it's a very ambitious undertaking. And, you know, one of the ambitions is to complete a massive construction project in a manner consistent with American labor values. But another challenge is to maintain a university in a manner consistent with American academic values, which, like workers' rights, are not otherwise a part of the host country's own tradition. And I think the evidence shows that the first challenge has been a lot harder than NYU perhaps understood So for a lot of observers, I think that will raise questions about the challenge of maintaining academic freedom also.
And very briefly to wrap up, you know, construction on NYU's campus is now completed. What recourse do the workers have, if any?
Under the local law, I'm not an expert in Emirati law, but I would think very little. They've all moved on to other projects now. But I think that there is still an open question for how NYU as an institution will respond to this and will deal with this. And, you know, whether the changes they make, if any, will apply just going forward, or whether they will undertake some effort to understand what happened, you know, over the course of this construction.
Ariel Kaminer is a reporter for The New York Times. Thanks so much, Ariel.
Thank you.